Hi there, everyone. My name is John Bay. I'm the CEO of Standard Uranium. We are a project generator and exploration company based in the Athabasca Basin of Saskatchewan. We have 11 projects right now. We plan on drilling four of those this season. Looking forward to a great year for Standard Uranium.
Hello, everybody. I'm Wayne Hiley, and I'm the CEO and managing director of Peninsula Energy. We have a Wyoming-based project called Lance, which we are preparing for uranium production before the end of 2024. Today, our big effort is construction on a plant expansion, growing the plant facilities to become an end-to-end producer of finished yellowcake, capable of producing up to 2 million pounds a year.
Hi, guys. Hi, John. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for joining us. I'm calling you from sunny Morocco today, so excuse any wobbling of the screen and sound quality and birds chirping in the background. But the reason I'm going to talk to you guys is to maybe get your thoughts on the mood of the nation. It seems that uranium space with this reset has got slightly unsure of itself again. John, you've just come back from Scottsdale, big conference out there. What was the mood there?
Yeah, the mood was positive. I think the overall sector, the mining sector, exploration, producing, everything seems to be moving in the right direction. So the investors that were there were all bullish on where we're headed. I think this is a start of a major move towards the mining space, getting back to investors coming back in, which is great to see. And uranium was still one of the top picks of the conference. So we're seeing copper, we're seeing gold and silver. Those things get a momentum, but people still love the uranium story. So great to see that.
And not only is uranium, really a topical piece for resource investors, the nuclear space in the United States and I really say globally, continues to see great support. We see more and more development of small modular reactors, growth in the nuclear space, and the kind of support for even uranium mining, but the nuclear fuel cycle in as a whole, from both governments and many jurisdictions supporting mining. Where we didn't see that strong support before. So this is a great environment for the uranium miners, not just, resource, but uranium miners in particular.
Okay, well, Alyssa, you're both coming at the uranium space from slightly different starting points in the sense that, John, you're a prospect generator. You talk about that big portfolio that you've got. You've got a number of ways of kind of monetizing that, as you move through the phases. And Wayne, likewise, you're coming the last sort of 9 yards, as it were, at the end of an advanced development play into production later this year. But you both are chasing the money. Is the money kind of cascading down through equities yet? I mean, John, what do you think?
I think it really depends on the company and what you have going for it. I mean, we're really seeing a transition for a certain type of investors coming in and looking at our company. I've been on the road now for, last month and a half, meeting all across North America, talking to investors, whether big funds or retail investors. And what they're seeing is they're looking for opportunities where they know they can make money, and more importantly, they're not going to lose money as this, we go through this sort of sideways transition through, where spot's trickling out right now. So for us, we're able to say, look, we've got four projects that we're drilling with other companies' money. We've got cash flow coming in, shares coming in. Our team are busy at work where all our geologists are gone. We've got people banging on our door to work with us for our other projects. So look, we're only raising capital for our flagship Davidson River project, and that'll happen at the most once a year. So we're in a great position financially, and people see that, and they're willing to come understand the story and invest with us right now. So it's quite positive for us.
Right. Okay. So multiple ways of coming at the kind of potential revenue identification for you. Wayne, yours is a straight project, ISR project, Wyoming. It's been a case of raising money, advancing for you. Like I say, this, you've raised some money recently. I'm not quite sure people quite understood why. Can you explain it?
Well, we're preparing a plant facility, putting tens of millions of dollars into capital assets that are going to be productive assets. We have a great resource. We have the Lance Projects is more than just a production area. We have really a licensed production area, a development area that's getting ready for licensing. And we have an exploration area, an area that, today we have 54 million pounds of resource at Lance. There's an exploration target that's, 100 million to 150 million additional pounds at Lance. It needs additional drilling. We need to capitalize that drilling. And that is part of what we're doing. But today, the focus on Peninsula is really about how long will it take for us to get into production and what is the cost of getting into production? And you asked the question, and John answered, is there money out there? You bet. investors are looking for the opportunities in the uranium space. We had a big run up in the second half of last year. You know, we're just on the heels of a price run up in uranium where the price has now settled in 50% higher than it was, you know, in the first half of 2023. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a floor kind of, you know, price stabilized between $50 and $60. Now we have prices stabilizing around $90 a pound. Really great environment for new investment. The opportunity and the ability of the price to rise again in the near future, certainly there. Investors are looking for the companies that still have value left in them. You know, Peninsula's been raising money. We've had a couple of high hurdles that we've had to cross. But we're very capable and we're dedicated to it. As you said, we're in the last 9 yards. We're dealing with the issues, but nothing's changed. We have a very capable team ready to put a project into production, and we're moving forward as quickly as we can.
Right, and we're looking at a market which is seeing a lot of M&A activity, and we're seeing a lot of companies actually spinning out non-core assets. So Arthur recently do that with a couple of projects to some new co's. John, at your end, that's going to be a little bit of competition in terms of where investors allocate capital. These single asset projects, can they stand up to a kind of multi-portfolio like yours?
Well, it all depends on the quality of that asset. Like if you've got a great asset, like for example, ISO has their Hurricane asset globally, like an incredible project. So that's going to stand up. There are multiple other companies though that are in the space that don't have assets that great, and they're struggling. There's new companies coming in that are looking for projects. The Athabasca Basin, as we know, probably the best jurisdiction in the world to be looking for uranium. High grade, lots of opportunity, good vendors there. And for us, what we've done, which is very unique from other project generators, you just mentioned APA, we don't just put a project up and find a partner. We actually take a project, we stake it for cheap amounts, we work it, we advance it till it's drill ready for targets. Then we get the permits all in place. Then we have First Nations agreements signed. Then we line up all the vendors, and then our team actually operates the project. So we're not just giving away a piece of land. We're making a turnkey operation, and that makes our project really stand out and makes companies bang on our door and investors understand the opportunity there. We've got cash flow coming in. We've got projects being worked. Great opportunities for discoveries for us and our shareholders.
Well, the thing that sort of struck me when I last spoke to you, John, was the you're looking for the right quality of management teams coming in. So it's not just a case of initial money. It's the ability to do something with the asset and raise future money. Otherwise, the project's frozen, slightly paralyzed somewhat. So is that still the case? Is that still that something you'd look for? If you were an investor, you're looking at the quality of the management team and the plan, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. So what's really important is the drill programs that are going on all those projects, and are they having success? Are they actually identifying targets and going back with better targets for the next drill program? Look, exploration's hard. Making a big discovery does not happen on your first drill program. You've got to be systematic. You've got to keep working forward, vector in, and continue to have better programs year after year. So if investors see that, you know, we're saying what we're doing, that money's going in the ground, we're advancing these projects, it makes a great opportunity for these companies to work with us and for us to find other companies coming in that will meet the requirements that we need. And that is good people, the ability to raise capital and let our geos do the work and advance things.
John's right. Exploration's hard. That's a effort that takes many, many years to develop new mines. You look at the United States and the projects that folks are working on, you know, mostly we're restarting existing projects right now. That's what you see in the U.S. uranium space. You have some folks who are rehashing and looking at old discoveries with small amounts of uranium and hoping to make them better discoveries. But in the United States, you don't have any real significant organic exploration, any new projects that are on the map. You know, not only is exploration hard, you know, and the Athabasca Basin certainly a good place to put your money in exploration. Everybody knows putting a project into production is one of the toughest things. The lead time in mining from exploration to production is enormous. You know, 10 years is probably an understatement. People say it takes 10 years. You got to look at folks in the tier one jurisdictions. You know, they have the best chance of taking a project from exploration to production. Yeah, and that's really what Peninsula is doing. We have an excellent resource. We have the ability to grow that resource. And, you know, we're focused today on taking a licensed facility and putting it back into production.
But okay, Wayne, but let's look at some of the challenges up at your end. You know, you're moving into production. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of M&A. BHP, you know, putting a bid out for Anglo American today. We've seen gold companies, Westgold, pick up Karora in a merger of equals, as they like to frame it. Multiple M&A or big companies buying up big companies. Wouldn't it be easier for you to just put yourself up for sale and let someone do a roll-up in the U.S.? The U.S. needs a roll-up because a lot of these projects are so small.
You know me, Matt. I don't take the easy path. I never have. I never will. I take the long, challenging path of taking a project and making it all it can be. That's what Peninsula's character is all about. Yes, it would be easy for us to throw on our hats and say, let's roll up with somebody else. And there's a lot of companies out there that, you know, ultimately we'll probably find a home together. But Peninsula has a lot of talent. Peninsula has a lot of ability. And yeah, we're following a more challenging path. We're putting our project back into production and we're expanding the plant. The plant expansion technically is not a big risk. It was just a capital requirement. And, you know, we're going to prove that low pH in situ recovery works well in the United States and can be one of the most productive ways of generating uranium. It's not just that, you know, we have a good project. We have a good approach to it.
Yeah, look, you sound like a glutton for punishment, but the truth is this: if I look around this sector at the moment, a lot of people long on chat about getting into production. Not a lot of people moving forward. There's a handful of people on some restarts, Encore being one of them. I think Energy Fuels kind of kicked off as well, but a long list of people who say they can't, but they haven't. So I want to, it's a case of, you know, show me, don't tell me at this moment in time. So do you think there's a need for a sort of North American roll-up? Do you think who's going to take charge of that? What's it going to take in the market for someone to be able to raise the capital to do that?
To roll up the North American?
Well, raise the money to go and do a roll-up.
Yeah. I hear again, Each company has projects of merit and has teams capable of pursuing them and believe in their own pathways. You know, there is room in the world for a lot of smaller companies. You know, rolling up and getting big liquid companies is interesting, Matt, but it's not always the best path. If you want, I mean, you can end up in a large company and then, you know, one project becomes the one that gets all the investment. And that company doesn't make the most of the assets. You know, the utility fuel buyers, they want multiple choices. They don't want one choice of one major U.S. producer. You know, they do business with each of us. We have contracts. My peers have contracts with the same folks. And that's because they're looking for diversity of supply. So, you know, M&A isn't the answer to everything. But, you know, at the same time, size really helps you with capital raising, and we recognize that as well.
There seems to be I'm not just talking about Wyoming here, but there's certainly a couple of that I can think of, and it definitely is the case up in the Athabasca Basin, where it feels like, you know, two men on a wheelbarrow type style in terms of scale and opportunity. I think the utility buyers are smart enough to see what's in front of them, but investors will struggle. Looks like we're starting to repeat the kind of mistakes of the last cycle, where we're going to see lots of new entrants, John. The difference between real and not real and people pretending to take part in the race is what? How do we spot them?
It's comical, actually, Matt. I think you're well aware of that. I mean, the entrants who have been, the guys who've been around for many years were there, and they picked up a lot of the great land. A lot of the good projects have been staked. They're in people's hands, and we know who those players are already. There's a lot of these new companies that are just showing up and planting their flag and saying they're going to do exploration programs. But I got news for you. You need people that actually know what they're doing. And that's not only the exploration geologists, but also all the vendors. There's only so many drilling companies that can do the actual work that's required. Helicopters, companies, places where you could stay. But most importantly, the geologists. There are specific skills required in the Athabasca Basin with uranium-specific geologists to get that work done. And I can tell you that's the biggest restriction right now for companies trying to advance things, having the people that I can do the work. So I always talk to investors and I say, look, find companies. And there's a handful of them out there, whether you want early exploration or mid-tier or producers. Look for people who've actually got geologists that know what they're doing. They've done the work and they're very respected in the region. Look for companies who've got projects that are permitted and can get projects permitted and have got a history of doing that, or they can get all their projects permitted and move them forward. Look for companies who've actually got relationships with the First Nations and have got agreement signed, not just saying they're talking about them. Look for companies who actually, when they stake ground, they actually stake ground that has geological merit, not just moose pasture or big land packets that's supposed to be a great big thing, saying you're great because you got a great land package. I got news for you. Majority of that is moose pasture. If you don't have the structural components in that, you've got to be able to do it. And it's so expensive to hold that land. You can stake it and grab a big piece of land, but if you don't actually spend money on it, and it can be millions of dollars to hold it, you've got to get rid of it and then find some other company to come along and do a JV with you. And then they'll soon realize, wow, this land is not great. We've got to get First Nations. We've got to get geologists. And then all of a sudden you're stuck with too many companies looking for money and not investors not finding the right ones. So look, we really pride ourselves on all those things. Look at our team of geologists, look at our projects, look at our First Nations agreements and our permits. We're all set to move forward, and that's why we're finding success bringing money in and advancing 4 drill programs this summer. So we're on top of it, Matt.
Right, and I think well said, by the way. It's so true, and I think, you know, lots of people will get caught out by this. You can see it's slow motion. It's going to happen. But I want to talk about the kind of macro for the audience out there who are perhaps new to uranium, new to mining. Quite frankly, the geopolitics of this space is totally fascinating. We've heard rumors this week of a Chinese group looking to pick up an advanced developer in Africa. I won't say which country. Don't want to scare anyone. But the Chinese are moving forward with their plan to capture as much feed as possible. We've seen what's gone on in Niger recently. Obviously, Global, you know, maybe got the head down and saying, well, it's still business as usual, mostly. GoVX, I think, perhaps have received an unwelcome letter from the minister suggesting that he will remove their license. And then you've got these kind of players down in Namibia, Malawi, etc. It feels like Chinese moving quickly, Western sovereign states perhaps moving a little bit more slowly and not doing enough upstream for uranium players. That bodes well for you, John, in the sense that I guess you're in Canada protected from, you know, foreign direct investment like that. It also suggests in terms of the West access to future uranium perhaps just got a little bit harder. How do you feel about that, John?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, with the Canadian government sort of making it more difficult for foreign groups to come in and fund stuff, it's kind of a double-edged sword. There were, you know, go back in time a number of years, there were certain exploration companies that got big chunks of capital to advance their projects, and that did help them advance things pretty quickly. But now that that's stopped, you know, we have to find investments from, you know, North America or people that have, you know, want to help people invest with companies that they want to, you know, gain access to in the future. So what we're seeing in the U.S., all kinds of, you know, demand out of the U.S. for uranium, and Canada is a great place to get that uranium from. So we are seeing a direct path for companies that are able to get projects advanced to mines and get those into production. There are great consumers and customers down the road. So for companies like us, look, we're not going to be miners. We're exploration companies. What we want to do is make that discovery, build it up to a resource, and then have a bigger player come in and take us out and build it into a mine. And they've got a built-in infrastructure of where they can sell those pounds to, which is pretty exciting.
Well, there we go. It feels a little bit like a bifurcation of market. I'm attracting unwanted investment interest myself here, a few flies flying around. It looks like, you know, bifurcation of market, he seems more inevitable as a result of, you know, again, Chinese moving quicker than the West. So you, Wayne, from a North American perspective, what do you see that's potentially doing to term price as, you know, the utilities perhaps reacting to that news? There's going to be a little bit less on the market for them, it would appear.
Yeah. I think the other thing, that big elephant in the room, is, you know, what's happening with Russia and Ukraine and what's happening with the uranium and then other parts of the nuclear fuel cycle coming out of that. I mean, the Western world is really moving quickly to build up the opportunity to, you know, displace the enrichment and the conversion and some of the uranium production. So look, I think Wayne can probably speak to that as well. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, yeah, we certainly have a lot of investment here in the United States and government money going into the fuel cycle. Conversion and enrichment to make sure that the U.S. can keep up with their, you know, with the U.S. demand and the North American and free world demand. the U.S. can be a leader in uranium conversion and enrichment. A lot of the programs now that are being funded, you know, by the U.S. government for enhancing conversion and enrichment are getting, you know, incentives in, attached to them where let's use domestically produced uranium, or at least friendly country, as John points out, friendly country produced uranium, you know, Canada and Australia, you know, the nations like that, that are our friends. You know, we need to get away from reliance on our geopolitical foes for something as important as nuclear fuel. Our country is doing that. And, you know, so we're seeing the ramp up of the capable uranium producers today. That is just, you know, that's happening across the board. We're now at an incentive price that suggests everybody who has a production facility should be putting it into production and making some good money on it. You know, Peninsula is doing that. So are our peers. It's an interesting and a very interesting time in the uranium space, because not only in the United States, but elsewhere, we have projects that are ramping up, that are just getting restarted. And we're beginning to see the performance of the ramp up. We're beginning to see production guidance slip. We're beginning to see, you know, who's really got the production team and the capabilities to make it happen as quick as the pie in the sky answer that we normally get. You know, so investors, again, my advice is, you know, listen to the people who are truth brokers, the people who are actually telling you, you know, how it is, the people who have experience starting and ramping up projects and operating projects are going to be the ones who are going to be most successful. You know, it's not always the hare that wins the race. Sometimes it's the turtle.
I think if you look at Russia, I put a note out yesterday saying, reminding people that Russian nuclear sales in terms of products, enrichment, etc., have doubled in the last 2 years, up to $3 billion, the main buyers, US and France. You know, so it's a very complicated, interconnected space. And, you know, I think the Senate is still to vote on the sanctions bill against Russia. If it happens, again, coming back to my investor hat on, I'm trying to think, what are the things which are going to get that price moving again? Because we obviously saw that Japanese trade at the beginning of the year dump 100,000 pounds in the market, a $7 discount. It kind of, you know, set a sequence of events off, which started the kind of reset on spot price. Are we looking, can that happen again? Or are we looking at the fact this, you know, if there is the sanction put in place against Russia, does that dramatically change the fortunes of the uranium players in this nuclear space? I'm looking for drivers. Are there any?
Let me throw one out there, John, and then I'll let you come in. Look, you know, the uranium renaissance was driven by new investment, and this is, you know, I'm talking about 2005 to 2009. That was a very good bull period for uranium. But it was driven by funds and investors getting access to uranium, and really the advent of traders coming in and trading physical uranium and requiring inventory. So there was a lot of buying in a short period of time. You know, the more recent 2021 run up, you know, really when we went from $30 to $60, we doubled. It was on the, again, on the back of investors. Sprott Physical Uranium Fund bringing in a lot of new investment to purchase uranium and sponge up a lot of the excess inventory. Both of those run-ups were done when supply and demand were not fundamentally in a supply shortfall. Today, we sit with that. We have a fundamental shortfall in supply, and when new demand comes into the market, it almost always drives up the price. Anytime somebody's doing a significant amount of buying in the spot market, the price is going up. And we saw that in the second half of last year. We went and, you know, like I said, set from $60 kind of mark. Now we're setting around a $90 mark. So another 50% increase after a 100% increase, you know, in 2021. Can it happen again? You bet. Because who's sitting on the sidelines right now? Sprott. other physical buyers. There's not a lot of physical buying going on, but all it would take for another 50% run up in the price of uranium. And now we're talking about from $90 to $130, $140. All it would take is some physical buying, you know, some buying demand. That generally comes not from the consumers, but from the intermediaries, the traders and the financial interests.
So what's that do for you when you get into production in terms of this margin that has been the people have been talking about incentive price for the last 2 years? It's here, right? You've made a decision, we're gonna get on with it, we've kind of got a decent margin here, we're gonna be able to make some money. And I guess for you, you'd say to your shareholders and some of the running commentary that you've personally had to put up with over the last week or so, or maybe two weeks or so. Look, at these numbers, we're going to make money. So yes, the money we have raised may seem expensive at the time, but we will play catch up. I mean, can you say that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we updated our project economics in August of 2023. And I say that because that was before the run up. You know, we thought at the time that a long term price for uranium might be $70 to $75 a pound. You know, 6 months later, we were wrong by a big margin. We were, you know, the price was over $100, and if we'd redo our project economics now, the NPV, the IRRs, they'd all look so much better with a different market outlook. You know, maybe we'll do that. But our all-in sustaining cost of production should be around, you know, $40 to $45, which is half of what the current spot market is. Yeah, incentive price is right. You know, when you can sell a product for twice what it costs you to produce it. We're definitely in the right market and further improvement in the market, which is, I don't believe we're stalled. I don't believe we're stopped. We're just setting a new baseline and which we will rise again from. I think the market has, more likelihood of going up than down because it's a fundamental now supply demand, market, and there's just no place. It takes way too long to start new mines. Even the mines that are being restarted are in the formula, and supply and demand is in shortfall. So,
okay. So for you, it's quite clear. It's a case of we'll get into production. We've got to play catch up, but in an increasing price environment, that should, pardon the phrase, but it kind of covers a multitude of sins, you know, in the sense that you just need time to deliver and continue to deliver and hopefully exploration as the pounds there. But for you, John, in terms of that money kind of cascading down through equities and helping some of the revenue mechanisms available to you in terms of either spin outs or JVs or optioning or farm ins or your own ability to raise money on expiration, it's going to take a little bit longer, but do you think that's coming?
I do. I mean, I'm similar to Wayne. Look, I think we're at a new price point, and that's in that high 80s, low 90s range, which is a base. And I think investors need to be patient. I mean, I'm an investor. Not only do I invest in my own company, I invest in multiple uranium companies across the board. And I look at my screen every day and I see red, red, red day after day for weeks on end there. And I'm asking myself, like, is this going to end? And I think it is. Just be patient. We're going to get there. There's going to be some ups and downs. But at the same time, you know, I look at, you know, which companies in my portfolio that I think are going to rebound faster. It's those companies that are going to have to be, you know, diluting continuously if they can bring in some cash. At sometimes it'll be lower than other times, and sometimes it'll be better. But look, be patient. If they have a solid game plan, they know where they're going, they've got a path forward, and they're hitting their milestones, look for companies that are executing on that. For us, we've got cash flow coming in from our peer companies, allowing us to explore. We're going to use that cash to do drill programs. And for us in the exploration world, the home run comes to the investors when you make a discovery, and you're only making discovery when you're drilling, and you're only drilling if you've got cash. So for us, we're drilling four programs. We're driving forward. The opportunity's coming. Lots of shots on goal. So for companies talking to us, they like our strategy. They like where we're going. And yes, there's going to be some red days, some days more than green, but just be patient. It's going to get there. We're all going to move there. And the Iranian, you know, demand cycle is just, it's just incredible. Just give it time.
I think I'll also add the word calmness, patience and calmness, because I say a lot of people perhaps maybe don't have the temperament for investing, because I think staring at your screen every day is there in the madness lies, quite frankly. Either you buy fanatic or you don't. You know, for us, and I think a lot of people coming in, certainly joining our platform, the Uranium thesis is, you know, one of the strongest. Is one, you know, has been one of the best performers. And I agree with Wayne. It's a kind of reset moment, and off we go again. And if that's not for you, perhaps rather than the running commentary, I'd say, you know, don't put that stress on yourself. Move on to something you're more comfortable with. If that's Bitcoin, great. If it's gold, great. But or otherwise, just be calm, be patient. You will be rewarded. Guys, I'm going to let you both finish off with maybe 2 minutes on pitching your companies to investors. And Wayne, why don't you give us 2 minutes on why you think that you are investable to new investors looking in?
There's just not a lot of opportunities right now in the uranium market. You get a tier one jurisdiction producer, developer, and explorer, somebody with a chance to greatly enhance their resources at the same time as they're putting new or a project back into production. Peninsula today is very well situated. We have $50 million in the bank at the last end of the last quarter. We're moving forward with construction. You'll see great news flow out of this company over the course of the next year. And you know, it's going to culminate with the restart of production. And I expect that, you know, with the production team, the very experienced industry veterans that we have on our staff, putting the project into production, that you're going to see a great performance out of Peninsula as the project rolls forward. So this is today a bit of a value play in a space that's run up. You know, we've had some obstacles in our pathway. We face them head on. I assure our investors, things are going to be okay. We're in a great position today. The market's fundamentally sound. The company is fundamentally sound, and the pathway that we're on is going to be rewarding for investors.
Yeah, thanks. I think I've covered most of these things in our talk today already, but what I will identify for investors is, look, the home run opportunity is when those drills are spinning. We're heading off to our next drill program, our Canary project, starting drills in about 2 weeks. After that, we're going to move up to Uranium City. We're going to be drilling our Sundog project with our partners, Arrow Energy. And then we're coming back down to our flagship, Davidson River, the one that sits just to the west of NextGen's Arrow project, Fission Triple R. That whole region is getting extremely exciting. You know, F3 made their discovery just north of us, and where our drill targets coming up for the Davidson River are going to be spectacular this summer, and I can't wait to get back to Davidson River using some of our new technology and new drill targets to go drill that one again. So look, lots of drills going on, lots of exploration. And that's where the big upside is for exploration and for investors. So stick with us, watch this space, lots of news flow coming out. And we're hoping to make that next discovery in the Athabasca Basin.
John, Wayne, thank you very much for your time today. Very comforting to hear you talking about this space like that. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Pat.